You're listening to The Conversation with Adam Weber, lead pastor of Embrace Church and author of Love Has a Name.
Hey friends, I hope you're doing well. It is Adam and you are listening to The Conversation, and I'm excited that you are tuning in, that you are spending time with myself, and I'm so excited for you to hear today's guest. Before we get to that though, I want to share this verse from Psalm 27. My friend Catherine Wolf with Hope Heals, she shared it on her Instagram a few weeks back. I heard it from her, I wrote it down, and it's just been a verse that has encouraged me big time. But in Psalm 27, David says this. He says, "I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord." Again, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. I looked into Psalm 27. We're not really sure why or when David wrote these words, but it is clear that David found himself in a troubling time. He found himself in a dark place where everything around him seemed dark. And yet David proclaims this promise, "I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord." Maybe you're there right now. You're in a dark place. Maybe you've been there before. You've been in a troubling time. I know for myself, sometimes I need to remind myself of what's true. Sometimes I need to remember the promises of God that can be trusted. So I'm not sure where you're at right now or what you're up to or what storm you're facing, but I just want to tell you this. I remain confident of this. You and I, we will see the goodness of the Lord. I hope that encourages you. Today's guest is quarterback of the Minnesota Gophers, Mr. Tanner Morgan, someone that I've been following now for a few years. A great player and even better dude. We talk about his story of how he became the quarterback in Minnesota. We also talk about the recent passing of his father. If you have lost someone, if you're in the process of losing a loved one as we speak, I hope these words from Tanner will encourage you. I know they even ministered to myself. So we talk about grief and how to walk through that. We talk about what he's learned in the leadership culture in the Minnesota Gophers and so much more. I know you're going to be encouraged. As always, sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation. Well, I'm here today with someone that I've followed as a fan, but even more so as a human. Tanner Morgan, welcome to the conversation today. I'm jacked about this time with you.
Yeah, I'm stoked to be on. I love the podcast, and it's truly an honor to be able to have this conversation, and truly thank you for having me on.
Yeah. Yeah. When I found out you were a listener, I was like, are you kidding me? This is between that and your haircut that we have in common. I'm like, I feel like we're meant to be BFFs here. But no, Tanner, if you want to hop in, so you're a quarterback for Minnesota Gophers. Is that kind of that journey a little bit? Is that something you kind of expected or like dreamed about? Share that the process quarterback wise and even football wise for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So my whole life, for as long as I can remember being a kid, I always wanted to, I love sports, you know, every sport, football, baseball, basketball, anything with a ball or just being outside. But I always loved football, you know, to a really extreme level. And I think I always had a dream of playing in college, playing quarterback. And it's something that a lot of people had belief in me throughout the years, and gave me opportunities. And so if it weren't for a lot of people, I wouldn't be in the situation I'm in right now. But I mean, going back to even when I was 3, 4, 5 years old, my uncle was a head football coach in Kentucky. You know, my dad, we always played, you know, toss and all that kinds of stuff. And I had an older brother who loved football as well. And so we were always around the game, you know, from a young age. And I think that's something, looking at it now, that you realize that God gave me a dream of playing football. And sometimes it's, you know, hard to realize that I'm living out my dream. And it's something that I'm very grateful for. And, you know, when I got to high school, I just continued to do it and always had belief in myself that I could. And then the opportunities kind of came, and Coach Fleck gave me an opportunity to play at Western Michigan University, and you know, I accepted that. And then when he came to the University of Minnesota, he asked me to come with, and with no hesitations, I said yes. And so here we are, and Again, I wouldn't, you know, be playing the game if it weren't for a lot of people that believed in me and if I didn't love to do it as well.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. So that's kind of you, the player. I also know, and one of the reasons that I'm a fan of you as a person, as a human, is your walk with Christ. Share that journey. When did that start? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, of course. So I always grew up, you know, it's very common. I think you hear a lot of people say this, grew up going to church, you know, around, you know, those kinds of things. My grandparents, my nana, my papa, and my grandma also, you know, always grew up going to their churches. My nana and papa, you know, have a very small church in Hazard, Kentucky, and it's about 20 to 25 people who are, you know, probably age 60 or above. And, you know, I grew up seeing God move in that small church, seeing the power of the Holy Spirit move there, and, you know, seeing my mom time and time again when I was a kid, getting up and she's, you know, in her robe, doing a devotional, spending time with the Lord. But then when I got to college, it kind of, you know, I realized my perception was totally wrong. I thought obedience would bring me the things that I wanted in my life. You know, I thought, oh, if I'm obedient, if I pray, if I kind of stay away from these areas of my life, God will give me the things that I want because I want them for me. But then I really realized I went to a camp called Ultimate Training Camp, which is put on through Athletes in Action here in the Twin Cities, and really shook my world and made me realize that my perception of my relationship with God was all wrong, that I was trying to use God as a genie in the bottle. Yeah. Instead of really having that relationship with him and just wanting to be a servant. And so that kind of really, truly that day is where I think everything changed for me. And now there's been a lot of highs and lows as well. It's not, but that's where I really realized that I wanted to serve Christ first and not serve myself.
Yeah. And was that for you, was that a fairly noticeable change for you even personally? Was that something that even friends and family could have recognized and noticed inside of you too?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of friends, family members, you know, teammates as well, as I kind of, you know, started to change the way that I lived my life, the way that I thought, and the things that I prioritized, you know, I realized that, you know, football was something that I was worshiping instead of using it as a gift that God's given me, you know, with a platform and abilities to worship him, you know, through all kinds of different things through the sport. I was using it as something that I was, as an idol, yeah. I was idolizing. And I think a lot of people noticed that. And, you know, it's been a very fun change through the past, you know, 3-4 years as kind of that transition has happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, Tanner, thanks for sharing all that. So you're football wise. I mean, we were talking about even before we came on, started recording, it's been highs and lows for you just even playing. Some of the highest highs and also some of the lowest lows. What is that? Like, how has that your relationship with God impacted probably the lows more than the highs? Like, but how has that impacted you? What are you even learning through that right now even?
Yeah, I think, it really starts with identity. That's the word that really hits home with me. You know, like we were talking about earlier, when things are going really well, it's really easy to be like, hey, you know, praise God for all these good things. But when things are not going so well, that's when you really have to, you know, be able to truly praise him and understand I'm praising who God is, not for the circumstances that I'm in. And so for me, it's really, okay, my identity, something that I always have to come back to is that my identity is not in being Tanner Morgan, a quarterback, a football player, and having the peace knowing that when I get to heaven, no one's going to even know that name.
Yeah.
I'm going to be called by a completely different name. I'm going to, you know, be totally loved. And I already am totally loved, but that really my identity is not in kind of that outside, you know, noise or what other people see really, even when it's high and when it's low, but my identity is truly in Christ and being a servant of his. And that's kind of something that I continually have to remind myself of each and every day. Because it can be very easy to put your identity in what you do and not who you really are.
Yeah, and I think that's true, whether you're a quarterback for the Minnesota Gophers, a pastor, a banker, a teacher, whatever it might be. I know for myself, I struggle with that constantly. For me, when I first started pastoring, the church had a decade of success. I'm going to put that in quotes. I mean, just growing, pastoring a church that was exploding in every way possible. And then a few years back, went through the hardest season of my life. And I think through that time, it made me realize how much of my identity was caught up in everything else and how much of my identity was caught up in the numbers and the growth and whatever else might be. And yet I look back now and through that dark season, I still can't say that I thank God for that season, but I can see so much good. And now the people that I want to follow are the people who have been through hard seasons, the people who have weathered some storms. I'm like, you've been around the block a time or two? All right, I'll follow you, rather than the person who's only experienced kind of up and to the right in all areas of their lives. I'm like, man, there is something that you learn in the storms. There's something that you learn in the brutal seasons when no one's cheering you on. I feel like that's when you get this wisdom that you can only get from those places, and just that depth and growth as a human, as a follower of Christ. I never would say I'm thankful that any of that happened. And yet I look down and I'm like, oh my gosh, so much good came from it. And so, gosh, Tanner, thanks for sharing that part of things. I want to shift to something that I know has had a profound impact on you, and as would anybody. Your dad recently passed away. So I want to start just by honoring him. Things that you love and respect about your father and what he's taught you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could talk about this for hours and hours, but I'll really highlight kind of the way that he lived his life in his last days. He was diagnosed with glioblastoma, and from that day, his life truly changed. You know, he was always a believer, but it was something that he was kind of stagnant with at times. And man, I'll tell you what, through the last year of his life, God's hand was just in his life incredibly. He memorized so many scriptures. He literally blocked out all kinds of external noise. He wouldn't listen to any negativity. I didn't want to know any of the diagnoses. It was all God's in control. You know, he would just spit verses and scripture right back at you time and time again. And all he wanted to do was talk about the Lord. And all he did with other people, something he loved to do was talk on the phone. always be in conversation. And he just glorified God through everything. And I think so many people really got to see Christ through the way that he lived his last days. And that's something that I'm so incredibly, you know, thankful for, because he had faith in the darkest circumstances that God could move. And now, you know, he wasn't healed the way that I wanted him to be. You know, I wish that he was still on this earth today and that I could call him right now, but I know that he was healed from his original diagnosis that was supposed to be 3 months, and he lived for, you know, 18 months. So praise God for that. And I know that he was spiritually healed, you know, which is way better than any, you know, physical healing he could have gotten. He got really close to the Lord, and I know exactly where he's at right now. And I know that one day I'll be able to see him again. And I know that in the last 18 months of his life, he had an incredible impact for the kingdom of God. And that's what I'm so proud of him for, because his faith was crazy. And something that I struggled with is really believing that God could do the crazy things, you know, not saying like, yeah, God, it's in control. God will do it. But then trusting in myself, trusting in my human capabilities or what my mind thinks can happen. But he showed me that believing in God is way bigger than any human capability, and that it transcends every bit of our own understanding. You know, that's what peace is described as in the Bible. It transcends all understanding. And so that's something that I learned from him, and I'll take with me, you know, until the day that I die, and spread to people as well until the day that I leave this earth.
Just awesome. Well, even when you were sharing about your dad closer to the end of his life and when he passed, it was so cool, Tanner, just to read that. My father's my hero. He's my hero. And for the last 10, 12, 13 years, he's had horrible Payne. I mean, it's totally altered his life. He went from being incredibly strong and active, great shape, to now he spends all but an hour or hour and a half a day in bed, laying totally flat because he's in so much pain. And I told my dad, I've never been more proud to be your son. You know, like from a worldly perspective, he's had to quit his job. You know, they don't have much in life. And so from a worldly perspective, it's like, what? Why are you proud of this guy? But the joy that he has. Anytime I'll be out and about and someone will come up to me and they'll start talking about my dad. And they're like, I ran into your dad the other day. He's the most joy-filled person ever. And I've often joked with him. I said, Dad, you never complain. So I think I'm going to complain a little bit for you. You know what I mean? he's like, well, complaining doesn't really get you anywhere. But I'm like, oh my gosh, you're in such horrible pain. And yet I just know that I've never been more proud to be his son and what he's taught me through this time. And even what your dad has taught you just in this end of his life here on earth is priceless. When I first became a pastor, I filled in for a pastor. I was 21 years old. I wouldn't let my 21-year-old self borrow my car right now, by the way. But I filled in for a pastor up in Wahpeton, North Dakota, and there was three different ladies in that church. It was just a small little traditional church that had terminal cancer. And I can just remember the perspective that they brought me every time I was around them. The wisdom that they had in that time period of knowing that the end was near. By the way, none of us know how long we have on this earth. And so I think it's right. Quick to forget, like there is an expiration date on all of us at some point, but I just remember the wisdom that they brought. And just Tanner, even hearing you share about the wisdom and insight, even just that faith, like, gosh, okay, I say that I have a faith in Jesus, but man, there's just something different that my dad taught me. That's just awesome. Tanner, if you wouldn't mind, like, again, this, I know this is holy ground on you. What does the grief process look like for you? I know grief is something that we don't talk about enough. There's a man in my church who lost his adult son, and he just said, he's like, there'll be just days where I'll be great, and then I'll find myself sobbing. And early on, I met with him right after it happened. He said, Adam, I just need to find out what will fix this so I can move forward. And then the other day he told me, he's like, man, that was crazy talk. He said, this is the one thing that you can't buy, you can't outwork, you can't whatever is grief. It's just there. What has that looked like for you personally?
Yeah. First, you know, thank you for sharing that about, you know, your dad and kind of your story. That's, and that's awesome. Yeah. I think grief for me, it's been kind of a weird journey. I think at first it was almost something that, you know, it was weird to go through the days and not have him there, not be able to call him, not have him, you know, call me if I wasn't home. If I was here in Minnesota, you know, he would call me, we would talk every single day. You know, at times I'd get my dad's calling me, gosh. Okay. But I'm so grateful that he did that for all those conversations. But I think, you know, similar to your friend in your church, I think there's moments that, you know, really make you miss somebody, wish that somebody was there. You know, there's just certain things in life that I kind of relate and connect to him. And that'll kind of make you feel emotional, but it also just makes you feel so, you know, kind of after things happen, it makes me feel peaceful. Knowing that I was able to share so many good moments with my father. But I think it's been more, you know, kind of roller coaster. There's not, you know, certain days that make, you know, things easier. But what is awesome is, you know, being able to, you know, my teammates were incredible. My family was incredible. Around people that truly loved me, cared about me, all my coaches, that made makes everything a lot easier. Cause I think at first I was just ready to go, get ready for the season, all that kinds of stuff. And then, you know, there was moments where I really, really, really missed him, in football. Cause that's something that we really connected with. But yeah, I think it's different for everybody. You know, it's a lot harder, you know, for my mom, you know, but what's great about that is it's made our relationship so much closer, and we've been able to glorify God through the moments that we were able to have with our, with my dad, you know, with her husband. And so, I think if someone tried to define grief, I don't think, you know, there's a way you can define it, because it's different for everybody. And there's, you know, different moments that everybody faces in life that, that you go through it. But I think what's awesome is something that, you know, kind of I've learned and am passionate about now is realizing that, you know, it's really important to have people who love you around you when you go through things like that, because when you try to go through it alone, man, that's tough. And so people that having people around you that love you for who you are makes a huge difference. That's something I'm grateful that I have and have had through this process.
Yeah, no, that's so good. And thank you for just, I think for anybody listening right now who's going through the grieving process, maybe you have a loved one that, that has cancer, or maybe you've recently lost a loved one, whether it's a parent, a spouse, a child, just to hear that the grieving process is different for each person, I think is so critically important. And also to have people around you. One of the things I told my friend, and he said this was helpful, you know, he's really seen as a leader workplace, family-wise. He's a follower of Christ, and a lot of the people around him are not Christians. And so he was just like, what do I say to these people who want like an answer to explain like why this happened? Like, and you know, like all, you know, there's so many people reaching out to him. And I just said to him, I said his first name, and I said, as your pastor, I know you're older than me, but as your pastor, I want to give you permission to answer the phone if a friend's calling, or to not answer the phone. Like, if you just don't, if you don't want anybody, I'm giving you permission to not answer the phone, to not reply to the text, to not grab coffee with someone. I said, then also I give you permission, if you need this, to reach out to somebody, because I know you're stubborn like me. If you are struggling and you need someone to go on a walk with, like, honestly, just reach out to somebody. I said all the questions about explaining why God allowed this and all that kind of thing. I said, first off, there's no great answer. Sometimes there's not this pretty answer that you can put a bow on and all this kind of thing. And I said, one of the things I've figured out as a pastor, it's okay to say, I just don't know. I don't know. There's some things I do know. I know God's faithful. I know God's good. I know his plan for my life is perfect, but I can't explain these things. And I think honestly, sometimes those answers, those trite answers we tried to give, cause more hurt and pain than just saying, you know, I don't know, but this is what I do know. This is what I do know. I don't understand this or that or this timing on things, but here's some things that I do know. And I hope that's helpful for somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. There's beauty in that, not being able to understand, really submitting that to Christ and saying, hey, I don't understand this, but I still trust you and I still believe in you. And I know that you're good. That's something that I think I said when my dad died, but I don't know if I really truly believed it at first. And man, I think there's beauty in that, really being able to say, I don't understand, but I love you. And I know that your plan for me, is good. But it's not easy. It's definitely not easy.
Yeah, no, Tanner, thank you for sharing that part as well. Tanner, for the rest of our conversation, so you're on the Minnesota Gophers. You've had your coach here and elsewhere as well. This row the boat mentality that you have, just leadership wise, are there things that you've learned that you're like, gosh, when I'm done playing here, these are the things that I'll take away from this atmosphere. Here's the things that I feel like I've learned leadership-wise, life-wise, go for it.
Yeah, man, there's so many things within our culture that really are applicable to all parts of life to help you live an elite life. And so I think, for one, understanding that it's not about just one area of your life. It's about every area of your life. And we define that as academically, athletically, socially, and spiritually. You know, for student athletes, so not being around people that only care how you produce, but care how you are as a person, how you are in the classroom, and what you do outside of football, because that matters. And then also, I think serving and giving is a huge part about what we do. You know, it's a little different, you know, with the COVID protocols and stuff like that, but finding ways to help other people's lives and benefit them. And in the process of doing that, you know, as a servant, you get filled up in the process of doing that. You receive energy from helping other people. And I think that's something that's so critical. And then, man, just having vulnerability And being able to sacrifice things, you know, for what you want. Truly, I've learned so much by Coach Fleck and through Coach Fleck and through our program about, you know, how to lead, how to become a better man. And really it's about every single day having a choice of, you know, what do I want to do today to accomplish what I truly want down the road? And how am I going to think about myself less, and count others as more important than myself, to be that leader. But there's so many things about Row the Boat, you know, really serving other people, which is the main thing that I'll take away, that really just hits home. And, it's an incredible environment, and, you know, the culture ever, and really just about helping other people.
Yeah, no, I never really followed the Gophers a little bit. A previous quarterback had the same name that I have. It was funny because, quick story. So one of the former quarterbacks for Minnesota is Adam Weber. And I think a few months ago on Minnesota, like sports talk radio, they accidentally started talking about me. So one of the guys did a search and they're like, he's now the pastor of Embrace Church in Sioux Falls. Well, I didn't know he was a pastor. And then I got another guy's like, I think this is the wrong person. So I was like, I've made it. I've always wanted to be mentioned on sports talk radio and I'm officially there. But honestly, this row the boat mentality, and just even seeing you, Tanner, I can remember seeing you play for the first time, and I was like, man, there's something about this culture that's unique. And I mean, even words like serving and vulnerability are not huge words that you hear in like a football program culture. And I just think that's so cool and so powerful to hear. And Tanner, gosh, I know, just again, as someone who disrespects you as a person, but as a player, so many different people are cheering you on. And just to see the ways that you followed Christ throughout the last year, which has included a lot of highs, but also a lot of lows, has just been an honor. And if you're not doing so already, I know Tanner's probably going to shake his head. Go follow him on Instagram, okay? Every time he posts, he's not an active poster on Instagram, which is a good thing. Which is a good thing. It makes me respect you even more. But every single time he does, it's beneficial to myself. And I know you'll be encouraged in that way as well. Tanner, thank you again for being on. Huge honor to cross paths with you today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It was an honor to have this conversation with you.
The Conversation with Adam Weber is produced by the Converge Podcast Network and proudly distributed on Faith Radio. Special thanks to these partners. For more information on this show, visit convergepodcast.com.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.